hope you'll continue to pray for them. All right, Brother Nathan's going to do a song for us, and then Sister Morrow's going to do a song this morning.
Just had this song on my heart, and was just thinking about it more this morning, and looked in the song books over here, and it's not in it, but I was able to find the words here to it. How many here can say that the Lord's made a difference? You got to say, Lord, you're different now. I tell you that you get saved, you ought to be different. He put a different love in my heart, it's just different all the way around. So just listen to the words of this song. Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. Since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow.
Amen.
He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now. Since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Since fetters held me fast, the die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit would not bow. But just one glimpse of Him, it broke the power of sin. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. Since by His blood I'm whole.
Amen.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Hallelujah.
Now it's different. Oh, so different now. And now my hopes are bright.
Amen, brother.
I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so I know not how.
Woo!
But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won.
Amen.
Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
Amen.
It's different now.
Yes, it is.
Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now.
Amen.
Since by His blood I'm whole.
Amen.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Amen.
Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
Woo! Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. I believe you felt that.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
I just want to thank the Lord.
Amen.
I'm
just thinking that there's a place to go.
Yeah.
World that we have to know what He can do without Him.
That's right.
And y'all just pray for me.
Bless my sister.
Bless your mind. Woo! Bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord. I didn't mean to come. Thank you, Lord.
Choir is singing.
people at the altar.
Bless you, Sam.
Kneeling down to pray.
Yeah, lady.
Some are finding mercy.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Forgiveness for their sins.
Yep. Amen.
Some are fighting battles.
Right.
And they're struggling to win. The time has come to give in to the Lord.
Right.
Yes.
That's what this altar is for.
Amen.
That's what this altar is for.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't have to carry those burdens
right.
anymore.
Amen. Woo.
There's a light in the darkness.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
There's a love that's true.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus is waiting.
Amen.
He's yeah. waiting
yeah.
here for you.
Amen.
Go quickly. They close the door. That's what this altar yeah. is for.
Amen.
Father is praying with his son. Mother kneels beside him. Thank you, God, they've come. There in tears, giving up a part of him, his held back for years. Hearts are being broken,
yes.
lives are being changed. Look out upon his name, they will never be the same. The time has come. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore.
Amen.
There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true.
Thank you this morning for this ministry and song from the choir, and then, Lord, the ministry. Lord, for the special singing this morning, we do appreciate, Lord, the
yes.
presence of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
That the Lord is able to be in these services and able to pull upon our heartstrings. We thank you for those that obeyed the Lord and felt they needed to come forward to pray. And we know the Lord will take note of that, and that we believe it's never wasted, Lord, to obey the Lord and come
yes.
forward when the Lord puts it upon our heart to do so. Now, Lord, we pray today for the preaching hour. We pray that, Lord, you bless the Word of God. We pray for the lost that the Lord is here today. And, Lord, how urgent a matter that is, Lord, today. Those that have never professed Christ as their Savior, never been born again, Lord, we pray for them today that the Holy Spirit of God would grant them a vision today. And we pray that God grant them repentance. And Lord, that they might come today and be saved by the grace of God. Lord, I ask you to help me preach today. I ask you, Lord, to bring the thoughts that you put upon my heart, that you might bring them out. Lord, that you might help us to preach today. Lord, with compassion.
Yes.
Lord, with power.
Yes.
Lord, with the truth. And we pray that God give us the right mixture of all of it.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we pray that the service today, that to it, that God would be glorified and given all the glory today.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
For we ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. We do pray. Amen and amen. Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's stand today, if you would, please. Ask you today, take the Bible today, if you would, turn a few places today. And we're going to turn to about three places today. We're not reading anything together today. But we're going to turn three places today. First will be 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14 today. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his vanquish be not expelled from him. You turn to Ecclesiastes this morning, chapter 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. One other place this morning, Hebrews, the 9th chapter, 27th verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You may be seated. As we look here today in these verses that we've read this morning, I'm sure that many times that many of you have either heard or have said this thing, that there's two things you have to do in life.
Yep.
You have to pay taxes and you have to die.
Right. Right.
Now, you don't have to pay taxes, but if you don't, in a little while you wish you had it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But all these verses today are linked together. They're linked together with that truth that the Bible gives us about the fact that we must all die. Now, I know that death is not a subject that we all rush to talk about. I know this morning that nobody's going to get in the car, them and their wife, and they're not going to take a sales paper and go down and look around and see if anybody has a good deal on caskets today. I know that nobody after lunch today is going to say, honey, would you like to drive through the cemeteries and look at them today? You're not going to do that. You might look at houses or other things, but we try to evade that subject of death. And yet 360,000 babies are born every day right now in the United States. 360,000 babies are born a day.
Bless you, Lord.
Now, not only that, but also 151,600 people die every day.
Amen. Yes, right.
And so, I guess nearly twice as many, or half as many as are dying as are being born.
Remember, right?
Now, in the United States of America, there is 61 people that die every hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's one for every minute.
Yes, right.
There's 61 people that die every hour in America.
Mm, right. Mm.
We realize today that there is 107 deaths per minute worldwide. So death is something that, yes, you know, we really cannot evade.
You're right.
And, you know, in some ways, it's something that if we're saved, we understand that. And we realize it's part of God's plan.
Amen.
Now, none of us, you know, we run. We don't want to die most of the time. We don't want to die. Although there is a lot of people today that find trouble and find a hard time finding a reason to want to live.
Yes, you're right.
34,000 people of all ages today in the United States, 34,000 people a year commit suicide. They can find no reason to live. Now, people that study that stuff and know all about that stuff, they say there's three great reasons why that people commit suicide. Number one, they said it can have to do with the history of that person's life. In other words, there may be a history of abuse or mistreatment or something that if they never got saved and they never found help in the Lord to get over those things, they are just not able to live with their past. They're just not able to overcome their past.
Right.
They say the second reason has to do with mental health. We know the Bible tells us that if a person is of a right mind, thinking right, that man, he doesn't want his life to end. He cherishes it.
Yes.
He said every man, he cherishes his life. He wants to live. He'll do all he can to live. So we know that if a person is wanting to die, commit suicide or something of that nature, then we realize that there's a mental problem there somewhere.
Amen.
Now, the mental problem may be associated with drugs, or it may be some type of a mental problem birth-wise, or it could be a number of different things. But they say this contributes to people committing suicide.
Man.
The third thing they say is lifestyle. If a person has had a particular lifestyle that they're no longer going to be able to carry on,
right,
the depression and the thought of just not being able to do that again has caused many to end their life. And I'll say more about that in just a few minutes here. Now, December is a high month for suicide.
Yes.
Of all the months of the year, December is one of the highs. Sometimes because of history, a person that has been in the past is no longer there. Again, it might be of a mental problem, a depression problem that a person has, and we know that depression is a real thing. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It might be with a lifestyle. Maybe something has happened this year and they're physically not going to be able to live and do like they have in the past. It may have to do with that. Now, let me say this morning that if you're a child of God, and death is a means that God will use to get us from here to heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
A little girl walking home, and as she was walking home, she was cutting across the cemetery, and a man stopped her there. One of the people working the cemetery, he said, "Honey," he said, "why are you coming through here?" And she said, "Well, it's a shortcut home."
Yeah.
And I want you to understand that to those of us who know the Lord, death may be a shortcut home. We may talk about, contemplate how we would like to die. We may, have sat around and thought, and I'll say this, that the way you die will probably not be the way you think it's going to be.
Remember,
it won't be you feeling good and all at once you're gone. For most people, that's not going to be the way of it.
Right.
For most people, you're going to be hooked up to machines and tubes and maybe oxygen on and all these kinds of things. But if people were asked how they would like to die, how would you like to die? They said that three older men were sitting at a coffee table drinking coffee one morning, and they got into the discussion of death and how they would like to die. And one of the older men, he said, "Well, if it's left up to me, I'd just like to go to bed and just go to sleep and never wake up." And he said, "That's the way I'd like to die." The other man, he said, "If it's up to me," he said, "I'd just like to have a massive heart attack, and that'd be all of it, and that'd be the way I'd want to die." The other man, the oldest of all of them, was quiet for a minute, and they said, "Bill, how would you like to die?" He said, "Well," he said, "I would like to die at 105 years old at the hands of a jealous husband." Well, that's probably not going to happen, amen. But I'm talking about this morning how that that we all have to die according to what the Bible says, according to what everybody says. But my subject today is not that. My subject today is opposite of that. My subject today is you don't have to die.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to die. Yes. You'll say, "Brother Rick, you just read us three places in the Word of God that said we do." Brother Rick, the cemeteries are full of markers, and the funeral homes are full of people. And all of this says that we have to die. Well, I'm not contradicting the Bible. I know the Bible's true. I believe the Bible more than I believe anything else.
Amen.
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 But I want to say today that there is some things that I can say today connected with my topic today that you don't have to die.
That's right.
You say, "What do you mean, Brother Rick?" Well, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the Bible said in verse 17, Ecclesiastes 7, let's read verse 16 too. "Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?"
Amen.
"Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" I want to say, first of all, that you do not have to die before your time.
That's right, brother.
I'm of the old school this morning, and I believe that God has an appointed time
right. In
which we're going to die.
Amen.
I believe that God has every one of us in here that our days are numbered.
Amen.
Job 7 and 1, the Bible says, "Is not there an appointed time to man upon the earth? Is not his days spent as a harlot?" A harling, the Bible says. What is he saying there? He's saying we're like a hireling, that God would hire us to be here a certain amount of time to do a certain thing.
Right.
And when that time is up and our number's up, God will take us home.
Amen.
The Bible said that our days are spent like a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, then there's strength, labor, and sorrow, and we're soon cut off. And we fly away, the Bible said. So we're told that we don't know how many days that we're going to live. There could be some person here in this room this morning that would live to be 110 years old, and I'd like to think it's me. But we don't know how long we're going to live. There could be somebody, God forbid, there could be somebody that won't even make it till 2016. We have no promise of tomorrow. But what I'm saying is that God has an appointed time to us on the earth. Sometimes we see a young person die, and we think maybe wrongly about that, but that might have been all the days that God had appointed to that individual.
Amen.
We simply do not know how many days that God has given to every one of us. Amen. But the Bible suggests this. The Bible says, we read it today, the Bible says that I can shorten my days.
Yes.
And the Bible says I can lengthen my days.
Right.
Well, there's things I can do, Brother Eddie, that will cause God to shorten my days.
Yes.
And there's things that I can do that will cause God to lengthen my days.
Amen.
And then there is an appointed day that God has given to man upon the earth. Now, what we read here in Ecclesiastes, the Bible said, "Be not overmuch wickedness." It said, "For why should you die before your time?" Now, very simply understood, Solomon has noticed, as he looked at things under the sun, he noticed that people that live wicked lives, they usually don't live to be very long. Now we know, again, there's always exceptions, and we know there's people that are very wicked, ungodly, God haters, Bible rejectors, no church going, no praying, no loving God. and they live to be 100 or so years old. But that's not the norm. That's the exception. The Bible says that most of the time, if we live wicked lives, we will not live all of the days that God has appointed to us. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Rick? I'm not quite getting it. Well, let me just say this. To live a lifestyle sexually otherwise than what the Bible says about it is a wicked lifestyle.
Yes, that's right.
What our government has sanctified and called all right and okay, the Bible still says it's abomination. The Bible still says it's not right. Now, not only does the Bible say that, but I want you to know the numbers show that. People that live a lesbian or a homosexual lifestyle live 20 years less than people that live by the Bible standard of what a marriage or a lifestyle or a sexual lifestyle ought to be. You say, what's that saying? That's saying the Bible's true.
That's right.
Amen. That's saying God tells you about that. So let me warn, just in case there is someone like that in the room this morning. Let me just say, it's your life. You can live any way you want to live it. You'll have to answer to God for it. But you can live any way. But if you live that kind of a lifestyle, I tell you, the Bible says, and chances are, the world says, the way people that have lived that lifestyle says, the charts say it, the polls say it, that you will die before your time.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. I had some of my family a few years ago, and a young man, he didn't even get started in life. You say, why? The lifestyle he was living, someone come in to the situation he was in and shot him and killed him. He didn't even get started in life, Brother Eddie. You say, what are you saying? Let me have the minds, you young people, a little while this morning. I want you to understand, listen young people, if you live a wicked lifestyle, you will may not live out half your days. If you live that kind of a lifestyle, the Bible says that you may die before your time.
Amen.
And ask you the question, why will you do it?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. That's good.
Amen. Why will you do it?
Amen.
Please. Wickedness, detestable, perverted lifestyle can shorten your day.
That's right.
Amen.
Let me say this morning that a lifestyle of drugs can shorten your days.
Amen.
Now, we never do hear about, just the common everyday Joe that is messed up in drugs. We never hear much about them when they die. So I won't use them. I'll use the rich and the famous that have lived lifestyles of drugs and all that kind of stuff. You just follow their life, and you'll find a lot of people. You'll find your Janis Joplins, your Jimmy Hendrixes. You'll find your Michael Jacksons, you'll find that they did not live to be very long. You say, why? Their days were shortened by their wicked lifestyle. That's what I'm saying this morning. So, again, young people, you can go out there and you can get involved in the drug culture. There's plenty of it out there. It's everywhere. It's in every hand, every turn. But please know this. Please hear the preacher this morning. Please hear the word of God. That the Bible says, if you're over much wickedness, you will shorten your days. The Bible says. But you don't have to.
That's right.
Woo! Lord!
Good preacher.
You don't have to die young.
That's right.
You say, Brother Rick, I know a lot of folks that they were alcoholics. They lived a long time, still alive, drinking. Again, that's not the normal.
Amen.
That's the exception.
Yes. Amen.
Because if cirrhosis of the liver don't get them, if a barroom brawl where somebody shoots them and kills them don't get them, if a wreck on the highway don't get them, you see, all their chances are up. Amen. It's just common sense to say, and I believe again the numbers will prove it out, that people that live that kind of a lifestyle lifestyle, Brother Eddie, yeah. that most of them die and leave this world early.
Amen.
Early.
Amen, Brother Rick.
You don't have to. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live like that.
That's right.
The Bible says this morning. Proverbs 27:1 says,
yeah,
that being often reproved,
yeah. yes, right.
and hardeneth his neck,
yeah. Yeah.
shall suddenly be destroyed, yes. and that without remedy. Right. You say, what's that saying, Brother Rick? That's saying that if we are rebellious against
yeah.
God, we have willful rebellion
yeah,
against what God's Word says, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. The Bible says there'll come a time
yeah.
when God won't put up with it anymore
right.
and God will cause our life to come to an abrupt end. Amen. I'm not going to take time this morning, but I can tell you, looking back over the past life that I've lived, I can show you people that I know was rebellious against God, rebellious against the will of God. And you say, what happened to them? Just what the Bible
yeah.
said happened.
Amen.
God often reproved them. God warned them over and over
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
And then one day you picked up the paper and there they were.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Suddenly destroyed.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you another one here. Wrongful treatment of others.
Yeah.
Psalms 55:23 said,
Amen,
a bloody and deceitful man will not live out half their days.
That's right.
Bloody and deceitful man will not live out half their days.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. There's not many of them people in ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
That's going to live to be old men.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You say, why? They're bloody men. They kill people. They're bloody. They're deceitful. Amen.
Amen.
In their life, you look at those that have been involved in all these tragic, awful things that have happened here
yep.
in our country and in the other countries. And just about every one of them was young men.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't remember seeing an old man in the bunch.
Amen.
You say, why is that? They don't live to be old men.
That's yes. right.
Right.
Use them.
They don't live to be old men.
That's right.
And those that end their life, they don't live out half. Mm-hmm. They shorten their life. They
That's
don't
right,
live
sir.
It.
Yes.
That's right. Very long.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
We don't know how long we're going to live. An old man was talking to a young man, just got out of school, been his way to high school all his life before him, like some of you young people sitting here today.
Bless him, Father.
And the old man said, son, said, what are you going to do with your life? He said, well, I'm going to go to college. And he said, what then? He said, well, he said, I'm going to go all the way through college and then I'm going to go to New York. And he said, what then? He said, well, he said, I'm going to get involved in the stock market and making a lot of money. And he said, what then? He said, well, he said, after that, he said, I'm going to marry, I'm going to have a family, I'm going to work my job. And he said, what then?
Amen, brother.
He said, well, after I work my job for many years, get my home paid for, get everything paid
yeah.
for, he said, after that, he said, I'll probably retire. And he said, what then?
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, I guess I'll die.
Yeah.
He said, what then?
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Take a thought.
You see, death is not something to make us, if we're saved, it's not something to make us sad, brother.
Amen, brother.
Right. Right.
I mean the thought of us dying.
That's right.
Right.
Because we know that God has dispelled the means whereby
yep.
his banquets be not
dispelled. Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
We know we got a better place to go.
Yeah.
Amen. But what death should do to us? Here I am in just a few months, if God lets me live, I'll be 62 years old.
Amen, brother.
I know it don't look like it. I see some of you. Now, when I said that, she was like, oh, I can't believe that. I can't eat. But I'll be 62 years old, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
I just quoted the Bible, said 70
right.
if a reason of strength, 40.
That's right.
And the psalmist said, Lord, help me to number my days.
Amen.
By my heart and the wisdom.
Amen.
You know what death ought to do to the child of God?
Mm-hmm. My exodus.
It's like that I've got 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've got so many things to do, and I start out that morning thinking I got plenty of time.
Amen, Brother Rick.
About 12 o'clock, I look at the clock, and I realize I don't have as much time.
That's right.
Yeah. I work and do what I'm trying to do to about 3 o'clock.
Yep.
I look, and I realize I don't have as much time as I did.
Amen.
So what I start doing, Brother Steve, is I start looking at all the things I want to do, all the things I need to do, realizing my time is running out, and I prioritize my time, and even though there's things I want to do, I look and I realize time's running out. I don't have as much time as I used to have,
Amen.
So there's things I must do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why the Bible said, Lord, help me to teach me the number of my days,
Amen.
And I apply my hearts unto wisdom.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you don't have to die before you tithe.
That's right.
Man,
yes.
If you are what I preached about this morning, I would suggest that if you're not saved, you get saved.
Amen. Amen.
If you are saved and have somehow wound up way down in some foreign prodigal country, I would suggest you come back and give your heart afresh to the Lord. For the Lord. Amen.
Glory.
But what I'm saying is, you have to die, but you don't have to die before your time.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Now, let me say this. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 5 there. You turn over there, verse 1 talks about how that we ought to pray for all men.
Mm-hmm.
Lifting up holy hands and praying for those that are in afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? That we might live a quiet and a peaceful life. He goes on down through there and he says, for God would have all men to be saved,
Amen.
And to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Because there's one mediator Amen. Between God and man,
Amen.
The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Who gave himself a ransom for all that he might be testified in due time.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Now, you say, what's that saying, Brother Rick? Well, what that's saying, it's not saying you don't have to die before your time, but it's saying you don't have to die lost.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't have to die lost. Now there is a revived heresy that's sweeping this country.
Yeah.
It's in churches that I never dreamed it'd be in. Good men of God that I never thought would be given to it are given to it, Brother Eddie. And it's this heresy. It's this teaching that only certain men can be saved and other men cannot be saved. Hyper-Calvinism is the name we give it. Heresy's the right name for it.
And it
teaches that Christ did not die for everybody, but that Christ died for an elect few. Amen. Can I say this? And I want you to remember this. You can never take the gospel to the wrong address.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
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 Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I know what they say. Well, you know, God has elected some to be lost, some to be saved. Well, if I'm going to err, I want to err on the side. I want to err on the side of grace.
Amen.
That God would have all men to be saved under the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
I'd rather stand before God and him reprove me, which I don't believe he will, and him reprove me and say, well, you witnessed to some you shouldn't have witnessed to. I tell you, I'd rather him to say that than him to look me in the eye and say, why didn't you offer salvation to those people? I died for everybody.
Amen.
I died so that all men could be saved.
Amen.
I pray there's too many whosoever's in the Bible for me to ever believe that.
Amen.
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 For me to believe that, I have to believe it. Like that little baby right there, that little baby right back there.
Yeah.
I have to believe that one of them little babies is destined for hell from birth, before birth.
Yes.
And the other one's destined to heaven. And there's nothing the one can do to change that. And there's nothing the other one can do to change that. I don't believe that.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
You don't have to die lost.
Yes. Right.
You see, the Bible records people that died lost.
Yeah.
You take that rich man in Luke chapter 16.
Right.
Yeah.
Down there about verse 19, the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. The Bible said there was a beggar laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his soul.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Came to pass that they were dying, was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and do my tongue for I tormented in these flames. Abraham said, Son, remember thine lifetime, receive of thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now you are tormented and he's comforted. Yeah. Besides all this is a great good fixed, so that they which would pass from you to hence cannot, neither can they pass from you to them. He said, Father Abraham, I pray thee, send someone to my father's house. I have five brethren, lest they also come into this place. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one rose from the dead, they would believe. He said, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded. Right. But one rose from the dead. Two men. A beggar died. He went to heaven. He didn't have to go to hell because he was poor. He didn't have to go to hell because he didn't have a college degree. He didn't have to go to hell because he didn't have a lot of money to give to the church. He didn't have to go to hell because he was sick. He didn't have to go to hell because God had no mercy for him. He didn't have to go to hell because God didn't send Jesus to die for him. He had two choices, and he took the right one. And the Bible says that he went to heaven.
Amen. And he brings the same.
Amen.
The rich man also died.
Amen, brother.
And in hell he lifted up his eyes.
Yeah.
Rich man went to hell. He didn't have to.
That's right, brother.
Right.
That's
right. Amen.
There's enough in the story to tell me he didn't have to.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
Right.
You say, why? Well, he knew something about prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
He knew something about Father Abraham.
Right.
He had the same books the beggar had.
Amen.
And the prophets.
Amen.
He had money. He could have hired somebody to come preach to him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He had all it. He didn't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I tell you, nobody has to go to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
And nobody has to go to heaven.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. You make that choice.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Boy, how clearly that's given us when Christ dies on Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Bible said two malefactors, one on the right, one on the left.
Yeah.
And they both had the same opportunity.
Yes,
you're right, brother Rick.
Yeah. I'd say they wasn't 6 inches difference in the distance between them and Jesus.
Yeah,
right.
Jesus hung right between both of them.
Yep. Right, brother Rick.
Jesus is dying for both of them.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is right there in reach of both of them.
Amen.
But yet that one thief, it took him a while. But that one thief, he listened to the words of God. And his heart got convicted. And he said, Father, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yes.
Amen.
Now the other thief, he cussed and raved and ranted and tried to save his flesh, tried to save his own life. Jesus would have forgiven him. Jesus would have let him go to paradise that day too. But the thing of it is, he never did repent. He never did have a change of heart. And he went to hell, but he didn't have to.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Rich, brother Rick.
Amen.
He didn't have to.
Yes.
Amen.
What about that rich young ruler?
Yes. Right.
Yep.
Come run into the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lord, what must I do to have eternal life?
Master. Yeah.
Jesus conversed with him, talked with him, told him what he needed to know.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
But the Bible said he turned and it went away sorrowful.
Yes, right.
Some have speculated that the rich young ruler might be the rich farmer in Luke 12. Parable Jesus told.
Yeah,
right, right.
The man was certainly rich. He had a lot of land, farms, and all like that. Amen.
Yeah.
He had been blessed. If that's true, I don't know. Some have suggested it is. And then some have suggested the rich young ruler that became the rich farmer in the parable ended up being the rich man that was in hell.
Oh,
it's all in Luke.
Yeah.
So think about it.
Amen.
How many in here? How many in here likes to play board games?
Okay, the rest of you's like on my side. That means they're playing Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
All right. My sister and us used to play Monopoly. People like Monopoly. Because, you know, I guess all of us, you know, all of us have that spirit of wanting to be able to make money and be rich and all that, you know, especially when we're young. So you know how it goes. Everybody starts out the same. Everybody picks out their little piece. The money's divided out to everybody. And you start the game. Now, I've played it enough to know that the first thing you want to do when you play Monopoly is you want to buy a park place. What's the other one?
Boardwalk.
When you buy Park Place and Boardwalk, then you start buying little houses and motels and things to put on. And if Jack comes around and he rolls a three and lands on my Park Place, he's going to have to pay me a bunch of money. My playing Monopoly is kind of like my reality in life. I always end up going to jail broke. Amen. But here's the thing, you know, you make a lot of money, you get Park Place and Broadway, and you rob everybody else, and man, there for a little while, you're the millionaire, you're the Bill Gates, there for a little while, you're the Donald Trump, you're the rich person that's got all the money and everything, and boy, you feel good about it, you have a good time, you laugh and everything, but there's always one sad part. Coming up. Say, what is it? Game's over. Go in the box.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Lid's closed. And everything you own, it's gone.
Amen. Amen.
Did you know that's like life?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. What a problem.
You know, it's like life. You live your life, you try to accumulate, you do this, you try to make good investments, you try, but it don't matter how much you accumulate, it don't matter how much you get, it don't matter how much you got, when you come down to the end, the game's over, they put you in a box and they close the top, and whatever you had don't amount to anything.
You're right.
Unless you have Christ.
Woo!
Amen.
That's it.
Unless you've laid up stuff up there and sit down.
Amen, brother.
Amen. You don't have to die lost.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, you're here this morning. You do have to die. But you don't have to die early. You do have to die, but you don't have to die in a lost state.
That's right.
Amen.
Provision has been made for you to be saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hell was made for the devil and his crew, not for you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So you don't have to die.
Amen.
That's good.
Now, let me say this morning. I want to say, number one, you don't have to die before your time.
Amen.
Right. Number two, you don't have to die lost.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
You can get saved this morning.
Yeah. Glory
to God.
Now's acceptable time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. Atonement's already paid for.
Yeah.
Lord's waiting for you to come and ask Him to receive Him. And if you receive Him, I don't have the power, but if you receive Him, He'll give you power to become a son of God.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Let me say third, you don't have to die at all.
That's right, Brother Rick.
If you're saved and alive in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Yes. You see, Brother Rick, the Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die after this, the judgment. But I'm telling you that if Jesus comes, you don't have to die.
That's right, brother.
He said, I got Bible for that. I got Bible too.
Amen, brother.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13, he said, I would not have your sorrows others which have no hope. But if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, even so that sleep with Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes.
Yes.
For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord,
Amen.
That we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are dead. Which are alive shall be caught up together. We will live in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I have some preacher friends, and they say, well, I think when Jesus comes, you'll die real quick and go up. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that for those that are a privilege to live when Jesus comes, they'll never die.
Amen. That's right.
And we're living in the most awful time I've ever seen.
Amen, brother.
Morally, politically, religiously, worldly.
Amen.
I don't know as I've ever seen a worse time in my lifetime.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
But there is one good thing that stands out. And that is this, that we might be the generation that is alive when Jesus comes. Because religious conditions point that way.
That's right.
Worldly conditions point that way. Political conditions point that way. Moral conditions point that way. And there's a good probability that some people sitting here in this room, they might be alive when Jesus comes. And they'll never have to see that.
Amen.
See, Enoch did that.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Walt
was not.
Genesis 5, Enoch was a type of the church.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because he was caught up before the flood came.
That's right.
Amen. I believe the Bible teaches the church will be caught up before the great tribulation.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Enoch is a type of that. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was not, because God took him. You say, well, you know, God, we say God, our loved one dies, we say God took him. Maybe that just means that Enoch died. We might believe that if we didn't have a New Testament.
That's right. Amen, brother.
But in Hebrews 11 the Bible says that by faith Enoch walked with God, and he was translated that he would not see death.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He was translated that he would not see death.
Amen.
Many years ago, Mays Jackson sent the Russians, sent them up and called them cosmonauts. The United States sent them up and called them astronauts. But God's going to take us up, and we're going to be wise not.
That's
right.
Amen. What a day.
And he was not.
Amen.
God took him. Amen.
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 Glory. Elijah did that.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
The Bible said in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 18, I don't have time to read it all today, I won't take time. But the Bible said that Elijah, he was just walking with God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right, brother.
Yeah. God sent a chariot of fire and horses of fire. He just come down and got the prophet of fire.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen, brother.
And took him back up.
Yeah.
And it's interesting reading. If you read it, the Bible says there were some that seen him go up. Maybe that's the state of Israel.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going to help change their minds.
Yes,
amen. I believe what seen him go up, I believe he was.
Yeah.
Of that kind. Amen.
Boy,
right.
And then they said they looked for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right.
They sent out search parties look for him.
Yeah.
Amen. To see if they could find anything. To see if they could find him.
Right.
I believe one of these days, one of these mornings, one of these nights, one of these midnights, one of these early mornings, there's going to be lots of people missing.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Your government's going to come on with a special news break on Fox News, CNN, MSN, CBS, and they're going to come on and say, we have been invaded, by aliens. Took a lot of people out of this world. Don't you believe that God just took the church off?
Amen.
Amen.
I've been thinking about this. The Bible said, let no man deceive you by any means.
Amen.
That's an interesting thought there. Any means. Means of computer.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Means of the news. Means of the internet. Means of the political party. By any means.
Amen.
You better really watch, my friend.
That's right.
Amen. But everyone that's saved, I believe that's going to happen to them.
Amen.
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 Forward, brother.
First Corinthians 15.
Yeah.
Amen.
Great mystery.
It's even better than other.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Bless my brother.
Paul said, this I say to you, brother. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you mystery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not all sleep. That means die.
Right. Right.
We're not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
At the sound of the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised.
That's right.
Amen.
And this corruption shall put on incorruption. Woo! And this mortal shall put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the same, and death is swallowed up with life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
Woo!
The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin be in the law. But thanks be unto God
that
giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, is there a sting of death for the child of God?
Nope.
No, no, no. A thousand times no. God took the sting out of
it. Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Said last night, listening to an old, old message of B.R. Lake. He told about Dr. Cale Tabernacle, whom he worked with for many years. That time, one of the largest ministers in the country.
Bless him, Lord.
He said Dr. Cato was much of a prankster. He said he had a brother, I believe his name was Cal or something like that. And he said that Brother Eddie, that Dr. Cato caught a big bumblebee and he got it down and he took his knife and he surgically removed the stinger. And then he took that bumblebee over there to his brother who always wore big overalls. And he pulled out the back of his big overalls and he dropped that bumblebee down in there and he said his brother jumped up and he started running and hollering and screaming. And after a while, he said, Brother Cable said, Cab, he said, don't worry about him. He said, I took his stinger out and all he can do is buzz.
Yeah.
I tell you, God's took the stinger out of death and all he can do is buzz. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now I'm coming down to a close. I like to close. I do it several times when I'm preaching.
Yeah.
But you know this like everything else.
That's right, brother.
You say, what do you mean? We've modernized it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Used to, when you died, they had to put you in a pine box. And they had to bury you pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know. And they'd put you on a horse-drawn carriage and they'd draw you up there to the cemetery where men had dug that grave with a shovel.
Right.
Yeah.
And they would take and they'd take the ropes and they'd have ropes tied around the box and ropes around the horses and they would lower that thing down. In the grave.
Yeah.
We modernized it.
Oh, yeah.
Now we have very elaborate, beautiful coffins.
Expensive.
Silver, wood, brass. And I've seen, I've never been hardly to a funeral that I didn't see an undertaker do this. Brother Nathan, I don't mean no disrespect, but it always kind of amused me. But that undertaker, if I die today and they put me in a coffin, that undertaker, I'll have a funeral. When everybody gets through coming by, he'll come over there and he'll crank me down. And then he'll lower the top and then they'll tighten it up. Put that key in there and they'll tighten it up.
Yeah.
You say, that bothers me. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Jesus has got the key.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
That makes it the
same. I've seen just about every funeral home I've ever been in, I've seen them do this.
Yeah.
Everybody's done and everything's secure and everything, he'll walk over to that casket and he'll go.
Yeah.
I've often wondered, man, you're fixing to put it in the ground and cover the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But things have changed, Eddie.
Yeah.
When a person dies now, what they do is they have professional people. Some of you have always wanted a makeover. You're going to get one.
Yeah, man. Hallelujah.
Most people look better dead than they did alive.
Yeah, man.
They have
professional people that's able to do that.
Hallelujah. Hopeful.
And they make us look alive. They make us look good. And then they put us in a limousine. And they ride us out to the cemetery. We get out there. They back up and they don't have horses out there no more. They have this thing that's metal, and they lay a casket on there, and they can lower this thing down in the grave, and it's so much better. You don't have to worry about it shaking or waking us up. Amen. And they get that in there, Brother Eddie, and then they cover us up. Amen.
Planted in his likeness, brother.
Now here's what I'm saying, folks. It don't matter if you're drawn by a horse.
Yes, you're right.
If you're carried out there in a limousine.
That's right.
It don't matter if you look like a movie star. Right. Or death won't go.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. It don't matter if you have an elaborate tombstone, yep. Or if you just have... just something. I've done a funeral one time. They couldn't afford a tombstone, and they just got a big rock out of the field, and they took and engraved in that rock the name of their loved one, and we set it up out in the field.
Yeah.
Don't matter. What matters is, what was your shape conditionally when they put you in the box?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do with this, Jesus?
That's it.
It was when you come out of the box.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what condition you're going to be in.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
That's
it.
Yeah.
Amen. So, you don't have to die for your time.
That's right.
You don't have to die lost.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Right. Amen.
Thank God you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And those of us that are saved and know it and are sure,
yeah.
We may not have to die at all.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a blessed hope.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning for
yes.
the message.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Put together, Lord. And I know it's very needful, Lord. And I know that it's a subject we always evade and all like that. But Lord, it's a subject that's as real as any subject.
Yes, Father.
It's as real as being born. It's
yes.
as real as
yes.
living our life.
Yes.
Lord, it is very real. And every one of us, Lord, if you don't come for us, pretty soon that are saved, there are many of us, Lord. I just want us to think about that. One day we're going to breathe our last breath.
Amen.
One day, Lord, that the ambulance is going to come and pick us up.
Amen.
Lord, it's so important today that we know that we know that we know.
Well, my soul.
That we're ready for that hour. We're never really ready to live until we're ready to die. God, I pray you've spoken to the hearts of young folks this morning.
Yes.
Maybe the warning room, when they're out some night and they're tempted, Lord, to do some wicked deed. These words will remind them. If you do that, you may end your life early. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today sitting there lost, they know today if folks was coming to the funeral home to see them, if they wanted to get where their soul and spirit was, they'd have to go to heaven. God, convict them, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Draw them and let them come today and say, I want to say that I want to get saved today. Lord, to many that are saved, may we cherish that blessed hope. And
yes,
may we say with John, who said it and now he's done gone. May we say it, Lord, with others that have said it and done gone. But may we say, Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. May we be that generation that sees the Lord come. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do in this service. And pray you touch hearts. Pray you move upon souls. And what I prayed for, Lord, is what happened to me as a 10-year-old boy. I didn't go to church to get saved, Lord. But at the end of that service, the Holy Spirit came and He began to deal with my heart in a way that nothing else ever had.
Yep, Lord.
And I knew it was the Lord, and I came that morning and got saved. That's what I prayed somebody to do this morning.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Let's stand if you would, please. If you need to come, you come. Maybe you need to come pray for others. Maybe you need to come pray for yourself. Maybe you need to come today to get saved. Why don't you come today?
When
and I came.
Thank you.
somebody need to be saved.
Yes, 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 sir.
Be saved.
Amen.
And I still have a little faith they may be saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're on anyone's heart today, Brother Eddie.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick. Kind of ironic a message you preached. I told my daughter this morning, coming to church, waiting for the light to change there at Hardee's and Bluegrass Cellar. I said, if you get news one day that your father's died, I said, that'll be the greatest lie that's ever been told about me. I said, I'll be more alive on that day than I am right now. And I thank God for that privilege to know that it's well my soul. I didn't know that for April 27th. 1988, but I firmly know it in my soul. It's an anchor to my soul, both sure and steadfast.
Yes.
And I just praise God that He can do something like that for someone. I just want to thank Him for saving my soul.
Amen, brother. Amen. Somebody else today, word for the Lord. Word on anyone's heart today before we leave. Brother Robert.
I'd like to thank the Lord, Brother Rick, for being saved.
Amen.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
When you miss a meal at home, you get home.
Bless Him, Lord.
That's right.
Bless you, brother. Bless you. Feeling better. All right. Anybody else today? Yes. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Bless your heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen, sister.
It's always a blessing to
know. Yeah, it is. Bless your heart. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. Max Helen.
I just
want to
thank the Lord.
Amen, sister Max.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else today. Word for the Lord. All right. Don't forget now. We're going to eat at 5 o'clock. So eat a light lunch.
Amen.
Eat a light lunch. Big supper. Big supper. Okay. All right. God bless you. Thank you for this today. We're glad you come. We hope you come back. No service tonight here. No service tonight here. We trust the Lord. Bless you today. You turn around and shake somebody's hand, you're free to go. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah.